Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Things are not looking good for the Keepers of Light. This primordial chaos beast is proving to be more CR than the four-person team can handle.
It's like a shadow horse made from tentacles and poison. I'm getting queasy just looking at this thing.
Vander Fail, team captain and paladin, was the first to fall, going on the defensive to cover party enchanter Sandra Goldstaff, who was quick to follow into unconsciousness.
They're dropping like snowflakes on Spirit's Rest, and the death saves just ain't coming. Oh, and the ancient horror tosses the cleric like lettuce on a hot steak sandwich. The only thing keeping the Keepers of Light from becoming a light snack is Trinity Chimes, the party bard who stayed back for support.
Lettuce? What?
Lettuce doesn't belong in a hot sandwich, Kip. Gets too wilty, but that's not the point. The beast has Trinity in its sights, and it's moving in for the kill. She's got maybe 10 seconds before she's tentacle-hooked in the last week.
She's turning to make for the exit!
Wait, did she just pop a spell? Damn, that thing was fast.
With a mysterious flash of light, Damien Vantoro, party cleric, is getting back to his feet.
Hot damn, nothing beats a clutch healing word.
And he's moving fast to follow with a healing word of his own. Vander Fail is brought back to consciousness from across the battlefield.
Holy hells, they're going for a Gelden's Gambit. I haven't seen this pulled off since the 2411 legendary Trial of Ascension with the Blue Flame Ascending going head-to-head with Salt and Iron.
The beast is surrounded and confused now, and with the last of his lay on hands, Vander has brought Sandra back to her feet. They're all on death's door, but it's back to 4-on-1.
Damien's holy sword is locked and loaded, and bam! A boosted guiding bolt coming in hot, and going in hot, right up the bastard's backside, like reverse diarrhea.
Sandra Goldstaff reaches for a wand, and we see a chromatic orb! How long was she sitting on that one? Thanks to the guiding bolt, the arcane impact takes the beast right in the flank.
Vander charges and drops into a power slide, right under the friendly fire. He's down to one smite, and it's all or nothing. He comes up swinging. Oh, the beast blocks it.
But it's not over there. Trinity bursts out into song and inspires Vander at the last moment.
Oh, and he comes back down on the Kala monster. The beast goes down like a newborn giraffe. Curse, splat. Oh my gods, that was hype. The Keepers of Light have done it. Pulled out a W from nowhere. My heart is racing.
Truly an act of team synergy fueled by desperation and quick thinking. These are the kinds of feats you can only see here on the League of Ultimate Questing. Welcome back, folks. My name is Kip Killigan, voice of the LUQ and servant of the Nexus Enterprise. And with me is League veteran Stormclad Thundertongue.
That maneuver got me all battle horny, Kip. Do not look under the desk. I gotta get myself a Keepers of Light mug. Drink some sleepy time tea out of it or something. Calm down. I'm buzzing like a bee-ass.
Well, maybe to help you catch your breath, we can check in with Immortal Dawn, who found themselves transported to a quiet swamp in the middle of the night. Surely the sounds of nature will greet us kindly, as the team explores for clues regarding the secret Bayern soil, a component in some illegal alchemy concocted in the Andesian underground.
Yeah. Crickets. Owls. Gentle fireflies and crocodile farts to put me back down. Good call, kid.
We'll be back shortly to cover more action. Stay tuned, folks.
The Immortal Dawn have stepped out of the bowels of Andazine, the arcane capital, and into the heart of the Palemire, a massive expanse of swamplands in eastern Danmere. Thick, old-growth forests faded into states of decay. Dark, cool pools of water that stretch across for miles. Thick mud, and dangerous natural wildlife, to say the least. A voice called out to you, one of you in particular.
Harithax? Is that you?
And a small, yellow-scaled kobold steps out from the shadows of a distant tree, with an old rusty dagger held to his side like a sword. He limps as he steps forward, and he blinks in confusion, and tilts his head to one side as if he's not sure what he's seeing is real.
Grim?
'Tis I, by name indeed. You have returned, but why?
You've survived, but why? I'm impressed.
I still serve.
Oh.
I could not separate myself from her.
Well, I'm glad to see that you are still well.
I would not wish you to feel this way, had I my choice. She is not Elsion anymore, Haruthax. Her true name has returned to her. Since then, I have bound to her for all time. I watch the portal, but never have I seen anything but the old men and the bodies.
The mud, then. It's from them?
The barren soil.
Yes.
Yes, it is their dark machination. The pride of their magics. Powerful.
All right, you reprobates, huddle up.
Are you going to clue us in? Who is she? What the bloody hell's going on?
Why do you think you're huddling up?
Good point.
This is funny.
Good point.
Aradex, you're funny.
Thank you, Artyom.
So we're wondering why you brought us all here today.
Krim starts to poke his head into the huddle.
I bend over, I pick Krim up, and I stick him on my shoulder.
We're in the Pale Mire. This is near where I grew up. This area, this creature. I kind of tip my head at it. We are in the domain of hags.
And Chris will be very comfortable there. Huh?
Wow!
I don't even know how to respond.
You're probably too mentally fuzzy to be like, what?
To say what? The least, the experience of stepping through the portal was somewhat sobering.
Okay.
These hags are a coven. They're very powerful. They have always had it out for my family. I escaped them once with aid from this little creature. He is a friend of sorts.
Not true.
What?
Oh, I am your unmaking, Haruthax. I am bound to her. My eyes are her eyes.
Fuck.
Oh, no!
Who's high now?
Quick, a blindfold.
Yeah. It's too late. They already know we're here. We have no element of surprise. What? Why are you reaching for me? Stop that.
No. I just need to,
I start petting his arm.
You feel scales this time.
Oh, this is exactly what I was looking for.
I was going to say, which arm?
One of them's gross.
Yeah. I was going to say, it pets you back.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's still a little fuzzy. Is this important? Are we doing something important right now?
We're in terrible danger.
Is this the kind of thing that I need to straighten up for?
I would recommend it.
Okay. I reach into my bag and I pull out my medical kit. And I look for some smelling salts.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a big, hearty whiff.
Mm.
Slap myself in the face a few times. I share around, kind of like helping people, giving them some stimulants and things like that to get them leveled out.
Right. The cup of black coffee, as it were.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. This is obviously important.
We are powerful. I am not certain we are powerful enough to destroy these hags.
And from behind you in the portal, you can hear the sounds of magical combat happening.
But they enjoy making deals. Be very, very careful about agreeing to a deal with the hags. They will twist your words, and you will never escape them.
And I look at the poor little kobold.
Keep me safe. She does.
I will do what I can.
You're not sure where they come from, but there are voices carried on a magical wind. They slip easily into your minds and send shivers down your back and fill the night air. Three voices speaking in unison.
Take the child with brow so hot. Take them to the sacred spot. Cool them with the deep black mud. Pack them tight and slow their blood. Strength of back to dig and toil. Chop the wood and splash the oil. Bake it into barren soil. Mystic earth dug from the peel. Forged in fear as children wail. As they scream, the fear gets trapped. Mortal fear on midnight's tap. Mortal dawn has come to know. Mortal dawn will soon be shown. Back to us, our prize returned. Scales as black as willow burned. Midnight flesh and gator's tears fuel our spells 100 years. Drow's black eye and Firbolg's horn, hungry crystals so adorned. parts and regions rare and true. Time to start our coven stew.
A shape slides menacingly out of the mud to the east. A humanoid figure that rises near 9 feet in height, despite her curved humpback. A pair of stained ivory tusks curl out of her grinning mouth as a small colorful serpent slithers from one nostril to the next. A heavy cloak of living fish on hooks like a fisherman's catch flaps against her aged muscular frame. On one hand there is 8 fingers. The other is replaced with a menacing curved blade caked in rust. A willow tree to the west starts to unfold as it releases tiny red fireflies in a cloud around it, which grow into humming orbs of crimson light. A hideous smiling face emerges from the center of the tree as the hanging boughs shape themselves into a head of dangling hair, framing her horrific visage. Bones hang from every twine and branch. One bulbous yellow eye stares through your soul as her hands emerge, long fingers capped in black jagged nails. And finally, a dark shape appears over the trees. A monstrous creature twice the height of the forest, with pale glistening flesh. A snail with 6 eye stalks, crushing its way through the overgrowth, as a small cottage of makeshift part sways on the back of its huge crooked shell. A familiar building to Harithax, the place where they learned to truly connect with their patron's magic. A twisted old woman, wearing a mud-soaked fur, which her hair is knotted into, stands on the beast, guiding it. One eye is a bead of white light. The other is an open silver flame pouring from her eye socket like a furnace. Her skin is the color of scorched lavender and is covered with scarified runes. She is Morla the Dream Drinker, eldest of the Palemire Sisters, an ancient coven that has harvested dark magics from this dying landscape since the first crowns were forged for the heads of past kings. Her sisters, Margie Dogtooth and Anessa Wispmother, rule over this place. You see flashbacks through your childhood eyes. Haru's parents knew them well. They lived under the guise of being helpful to them, trading them things they had harvested and made. But in truth, the sisters viewed them as pets, a crop to harvest themselves and turned into components when they died. Rare ingredients from magical creatures, heroic figures, exotic plants. And now the Palemire sisters have come to harvest the mortal dawn. Let's roll initiative.
Cool. Artem has a 14.
14 for Artyom.
Krist has an 11.
Harthax has a 10.
21 for Arvid.
Holy, jeez. Arvid.
Shmagolies.
I'm getting advantage on rolls now.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Barbarians.
Barbarian.
The Palemire sisters have revealed themselves, and they have made their intent very clear at harvesting the rare treasures of your magical bodies. Arvid, you are the first to respond.
I'll give him some horns. Arvid will go into a rage, and which one looks the meatiest, I guess?
That would easily be Margie Dogtooth, who's wearing the cloak of fish. She seems large and muscular.
Margie Dogtooth and her cloak of fish sounds like a fucking experimental noise band.
Oh, gross.
So I think rage, mm-hmm. and then head toward.
I think... maybe rage.
Maybe some rage.
I think I might
at a fast
rage.
Pace.
Yeah. Man, you're on the horny drug. Like, you should have said Papa Rager. It has an entirely different context this time around.
Oh boy. Arvid will charge headlong into Fish Vest Lady. Maggie. Margie?
Margie Dog too.
Marjorie Fish Vest. Got it.
And Arvid's gonna run straight for Margie Dogtooth and her horrible fish vest. And make a full-out attack after popping a rager on the way. You know,
very fitting for the ecstasy you've taken.
And the amyl nitrate to immediately follow.
Right, oh, yeah. God. Your blood's flowing. And you can make it there with 30 feet easily.
That's great. And that counts as a... that'll add the force damage for...
the horns, yes, indeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
So, attack... number one is likely a miss with parity at total of 12.
That does miss.
But the second one with the radiant edge of parity is 26.
Yes. Whew. 26 definitely hits.
Very nice.
I am a powerful beast. Mm-hmm. I will make my powerful attack. That's 14 damage with the radiant side of parity.
Mm-hmm.
And We'll give her the horns. Bam!
All right. Roll to hit.
Ah, that's a one.
Oh, oh no.
Okay, okay. We can't have this. So I'm going to call upon the heart of the fans and use my LUQ bonus reroll.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe the other die too. That's better. That's a 24.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Most definitely. Let's see that sweet horny damage.
10 and the 2-force damage from the charging.
All right. Very good. So you run up, and using the radiant edge of parody, you cut through several of these massive fish bodies, dropping their heads and bellies to the ground and leaving a wound underneath. And then she kind of smiles at the challenge, immediately followed by a headbutt to the nose. She winces in pain. I'm going to have you make me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh.
That's not great.
What's your total?
3.
Yeah, that's a no. You take 17 fire damage as she uses Hellish Rebuke in response to your attack.
Ooh.
How much fire damage?
17.
Woo.
Not what I thought was happening. I thought Arvid was getting tangled in a fishhook cloak.
Ooh.
Don't give him ideas.
This is separate from what's actually happening. Can you just tell me, having this thing, is it attuned already?
Yes.
Okay, I need to keep that in mind when I'm doing the attacks, right? Because it'll
just add one to everything.
Yeah.
Yep. Next up is two of the sisters. Morla and Inessa go on a different initiative than Margie for a very particular reason. Morla is going to slide down the slippery hide of this snail and land confidently on the ground with her head burning like a furnace.
Ack.
She's going to point a long finger towards Krist and say, "Your crystal's mine now." And she releases a chromatic orb at you. She's going to choose acid damage. 19.
These are really powerful things. I probably don't want to get hit by it. I'm going to use some luck.
To make him reroll?
Yeah.
All right. She's going to roll again. 16.
I think that misses.
Does it miss?
Yes. 17.
All right. You manipulate fate as this crackling, hissing ball of acid comes flying towards you. You duck out of the way, and it blows a hole right through one of the trees behind you, sizzling and burning away the bark and leaves alike.
Oh, dear.
And there's a snapping as it tips over and slams into the mud. She smiles at you. Anessa Wisp Mother, she is going to use one of her actions to make a grasping vine attack, as one of her tendrils of willowy hair comes shooting out. And the closest target to her is Artyom Volkov.
Is this a spell?
This is a ranged melee attack.
Okay, gotcha. I'm going to go ahead and warding flare that.
Cool. Good to know. All right, coming at you with a 17.
That's a no-go.
All right. The vine snaps hard near your feet as you duck out of the way. And she chants some ancient corrupt words, and the red will-o-wisps surrounding her begin to glow and pulse with energy. That brings us to Artyom Volkov.
Excellent. I'm going to go ahead and, with my pink prick out, I'm going to go ahead and take a shot at the fucker who just attacked me.
Okay.
And which one was that?
That's Anessa Wispmother.
Beautiful. I'm going to take a shot at them, and I'm going to charge it so that it, when it hits, it's going to turn into a chakram.
Okay.
Not awesome. That's a 16.
Does not hit her AC.
Fair enough. And but regardless of that miss, it's going to go ahead and pop into a chalk.
It is indeed. Pop a chalk.
It's going to pop the old chakaruni, and I'm going to go ahead and cast that at level 4.
All right. So you get to make an attack immediately.
Yes, indeed. That one is better at a... Why can't I add math?
Because I'm here. I have an anti-math field.
19.
19 hits.
Hey, perfect. And then that's going to do a total of 13 damage.
13 radiant damage received.
Mm-hmm.
You cut away some of the vines and she shrieks, not wanting this foreign light infecting her dark forest. Next up is Krist.
Horthex, we have your back. So I'm going to inspire Horthex. And then Krist is going to run up towards the big old hag. He's battle ready, reverberating from escaping before. And instead of attacking, he's going to unleash a fourth level twinned dissonant whisper.
Mm-hmm. Which two are you targeting?
I'm targeting the big one right in front of us. And I'm going to target the one facing the chakram.
The Wisp Mother?
Yes.
Okay. They're both going to try to make a save against your dissonant whisper. What's your spell DC?
16.
Thank you. And is this wisdom?
Yes, it is wisdom.
Excellent. Margie makes it with a 17. Anessa gets a 14, so she fails.
Awesome.
Regardless, she still takes half damage from your psychic damage, and the other one will have to use her movement to get away.
Yes.
I was hoping that he was going to cast it on the snail house, and it was just going to like really, really, really slowly turn and start snailing away.
The whisper says, a fight against one of us is a fight against all of us.
Nice.
So that is 66, I believe.
That sounds right.
18.
So Anessa takes the full 18 and Margie takes half. You see the willow branches close tight and it slides into the mud and begins to slowly retract into the forest. But Margie grits her massive tusked teeth and says,
no, no, boy. I'm going nowhere.
Next up is Harithax.
All right. Harithax looks at Margie, who's just insisted that they're not going anywhere. And Harithax will say,
yes, you are.
And I cast Banishment. And the material component for banishment is an item distasteful to the target. And I'm just going to use my own damn self.
Interesting.
What?
I'm distasteful. They don't like me. They've never liked me.
Yeah. But you just want to use you. So charisma save?
Charisma save. DC 17.
Nope, that's a 15.
Okay. So Margie, out of this plane of existence, into a harmless demiplane.
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, you are.
You hear the suction of mud as it closes in around where her form was filling out the bog, and a couple of fish flop to the ground and kick, tenaciously trying to find water in this mire.
Harithax looks at Artyom and goes, kill Anessa quickly.
I'm on it.
And as a bonus action, I will shillelagh my staff.
Excellent.
Did you say hexcellent? Because
No, and I'm glad I didn't. So the battle between the Mortal Dawn and the Pilemire sisters carries on as Margie Dogtooth gets banished to another plane. But the other two sisters should prove more than enough of a challenge.
Okay, but I thought we were supposed to be relaxing in a nice quiet swamp at the Andes.
That did appear to be where it was going.
And now we're two knuckles deep in some all-out swamp brawl with a coven of ancient witches and their gargantuan gastropod.
It looks like the MDs walked into more of a trap than a fresh batch of clues. These terrifying sisters seem to have a history with Team Warlock Harithax. But they're spreading the aggression quite evenly over their foes, and the MDs are pushing back hard.
I mean, look at the size of that snail. I could move into that thing's shell and have enough floor space left to rent out a spare room. Maybe put up a tasteful divider and install a small herb garden out back.
It would appear this is a battle between old magic and new, and the coven's curses clash with the MD's fire and thunder. The team is coming out strong with some tricks new and old, including a very timely banishment making this matchup 4-on-2.
If we're talking about escargot, I could feed a whole battalion of hungry, high-class soldiers with that big slimy bastard. I got a running start. I could slip and slide in that thing's snail trail from the Dawn's Gate all the way to Thandon without ever slowing down.
You're really into that giant snail, aren't you, Storm?
I'm trying to distract myself from getting too caught up in the action. My physician says if my blood gets angry too long, it could take years off my life. I need those years, Kip. Old man Storm has a lot of beach naps to take. I'm focusing on more relaxing things like big, big snail boys. Large, slimy snail lads that just kind of, you know, slide around in the mud. Pushing trees aside, a behemoth of mass and muscle that could probably breathe acid and crush full plate like teacups. Damn, I want to ride a war snail.
Uh-oh. Well, let's help Storm take his mind off the fight with a quick message from this week's sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hello there. Are your kids on nasty street drugs? Are you the victim of household theft? Are you worried that your child care provider is smacking your kids like a big sack of dog food at the grocery store? Is your partner fooling around on you, doing sex in your home? Maybe you're into that. I don't know. But what I do know is I can help you if you want to find out. My name is Divin Nathan from Scryco, here to talk to you about the Claire Bear. The Claire Bear is just a regular, adorable stuffed teddy bear, but fitted with a mystical arcane eye that can let you spectate from afar what happens in your home through clairvoyant magics. bust those dirty bad doers doing their dirty badness with the help of Claire Bear. Simply place your Claire Bear on a shelf viewing the maximum area of your household. Whisper the incantations to activate the arcane eye and replace one of your own spare eyes with the free runic receiving stone included free in every box. Then, voila, you see what the Claire Bear sees. Do not use the Claire Bear for creepy gross stuff. This is Divinathan asking you to buy the Claire Bear from Scryco today. We see what you have done.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet. As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hi, all you cuties. Zach here with another exciting Slapdash Housekeeping. First, I want to do the obvious and thank our Patreon subscribers for keeping us afloat and enabling me and Law to pay our cast and crew. It might not seem a lot to our patrons, but it makes a world of difference. It might seem like too much to others, but believe me, it costs more than you think to pay people for their time. For Law and I, it's upwards of 20 hours of work per week, and neither of us take payment. We're a long way from being able to live on Patreon and ads alone, but that won't stop us from making content for you all to enjoy. Because we're not here to get paid. We're here for power and fame. Also because we care about all of you and want to make good content, obviously. That being said, if you want to know what to give your not-so-local media partnership for the holidays, nothing beats a Patreon subscription. Special thanks to our legendary team, The Oathsworn, now with Craig McDonald, Gemma Donnelly, Brandon Wills, and Patch Berryman. Red Blossom Black Snow, my Legend of the Five Rings campaign for Level Up Dice, is in full swing. You can find a permanent video of the first episode and all episodes to come on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/slapdashstudios. We're taking a brief hiatus for 2 weeks because of the holidays, but you can find us continuing the story on January 7th at 6:30 p.m. PST at twitch.tv/slapdashstreams or on their Twitch at twitch.tv/levelup_TTV. Red Blossom is sponsored by Level Up Dice, so please use our link at bit.ly/LUD/slapdash. That's bit.ly/LUD/slapdash to buy every geek in your life some luxury dice so we can get some tasty rewards from that affiliate program. Don't forget our content contest for free LUQ merch. We're extending the deadline to January 1st to give people plenty of time to get their submissions in.
We're looking for fan art, fully produced commercials, music, luck-themed baked goods. Go ahead and send pics of anything you create to admin@slapdashstudios.com with a description of what we're looking at for a chance to win. You can find links to our merch at theleq.com. Use Spirit Rest for free shipping through December. If you want to advertise with us or get a special message on the show, please shoot an email at admin@slapdashstudios.com. If you want to show your support, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/slapdashstudios. But without further ado, let's get you back to the action.
The Ballad of Drakash O'Drachnir. Along the roads of southern trade, the Dornish made their homes. In shadows of the mountain cast, atop their family tomes. But high upon the Himmelhorns, the Drakes and Darlo flew. And with the thaw of summer's moon, so came the Dornish doom. They came in flights of 70. They swooped and roared and raided. The humans fought and failed and fell, their armies subjugated. Their icy breath and razor claws clove town like harvest barley. The human wealth all flown away, reduced to life beguiling. But one young son of Dornish might, with blood both crown and tribal, did vow to spill draconic blood upon a Signian Bible. With blessings of the human gods and kinship with the mountain, he sought the home of Doran's grave and drank from sacred fountain. Infused with might and Doran's axe, he climbed the Himmel peaks and hunted down the scaly beasts for 10 days and 5 weeks. His might unmatched this vengeance pure, he fell them single-handed, and those not dead in fear they fled, and on the peaks they landed. To Doran's might O'Drachnir called and summoned winter winds to freeze the beasts in glacial cells, a penance for their sins. No longer do the humans fear the drakes of Himmelhorns, for Drakus showed the strength of men and rid us of the worms. So sleep, my child, on down and cloth, and wish good night the sun, and rest in safety free of fear. The peace, O'Drachnir, won.
It is now Arvid's turn. One of the sisters has been banished, but Anessa Wismother and Morla the Dream Drinker still remain.
Okay, Arvid shakes off the fact that he's lost his initial target and looks for the next closest thing to bash into. it happens to be that one, Morla.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a full move, I believe, mm-hmm. and then full attack.
Absolutely.
All right, that's 18 and 22.
Those both hit.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Mercy.
Skibap.
Skibap.
Dice of dark and dice of light.
Yikes.
How Funk much on the head.
I smash tonight?
I love that.
Well, that's max rolls on a couple. That's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Okay.
I know you said that's max rolls, but I heard that smacks rolls.
That's
and I'm like,
max.
That's good.
37 damage.
Are you serious?
God damn.
You messed her up.
Yikes.
That's so good.
So that was fun.
As you swing your last blow, Arthia mills out, get the hell out of there.
Oh, shit. Yep. Okay. So Arvid will Misty step away.
Awesome. Yeah, you activate the boots of the Winter Court, and you can teleport anywhere within 30 feet of where you were.
Let's go back towards the party.
All right.
Pull yourself away by your bootstraps.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
And as you leave these two huge gashes through Morla, you cut through flesh and bone, and instead of blood pouring out, for a moment it seems like part of her soul is torn from her body and then snaps back into place, but the wounds remain.
What?
Ooh.
That's so cool.
I don't know if that is cool. It's, that might be really bad.
It's cool imagery. I like the imagery.
That's wildly unpleasant.
Yeah.
She narrows her one beady white eye and the other one flares to life. And she says, you'll regret that. She reaches towards Arvid with an open palm and slowly clenching her fingers. She casts a 5th level heat metal on your armor.
Oh, that's what you get for being a druid wearing armor.
There's no save against that.
It takes a round or something. Doesn't take immediately.
Yeah, it lasts for a minute, and as soon as you're in contact with it, you take damage. So, as she closes her fingertips, your mithril chain armor begins to glow red and then white hot, hissing and sizzling into your flesh. You take 24 fire damage.
Those double eights, man.
Adds up real quick.
Whew.
At the end of her turn, she's going to use a legendary action, and she's going to decide who is going to go against right now. She locks her flaming eye with Harithax, and she uses her Consume Dreams ability. I need you to roll me a Constitution saving throw.
This bitch got Dream Eater?
Mm-hmm. She's all Gengar up in here.
I think I'm going to use my Haruspex.
Oh, yeah?
And get an 18.
That'll pass the save.
Hey.
Harithax looks her right back in the eye and just resists.
All right. The full effect does not happen. You still do take half damage.
Damn. All right.
And the good news is you do not now have the frightened condition.
Oh, that is good news.
There you go.
Yeah.
I roll so good with spell damage.
So bad. Holy shit.
So you take half, which is 16 psychic damage.
Okay.
You keep her out of your mind and memories, and you are not now afraid.
Okay.
God damn, man. That would have been a lot of fucking damage to take up front.
Yeah, I assume 32 or 33 if it halved to 16. I have to make a concentration check for banishment, so I took damage. But I have advantage for Warcaster. Yeah, I'm fine. 20.
All right, you make your save. Anessa Wisp Mother goes next. Three of the large wisps that surround her begin to glow brighter and brighter, and each of them shoots out a scorching ray. So it's going to come at Krist, Artyom, and Arvid.
Take disadvantage on mine.
Okay, I'll do yours first. 19 on the lowest of the two.
No dice.
Damn. This one's coming in at Krist with a 28.
All right. Yeah. Wait, no. Do it again.
Okay. 22.
Ah, I can't shield that. Fine.
And at Arvid, 29. So very good rolls across the board.
Jeez.
This prism ward's paying for itself.
You take 8 damage, Krist. Fire.
Whew.
And you take 12 damage, Arvid. And again, her wisps begin glowing, and the smaller ones are pulling in close, surrounding her like a shroud. Artyom, you're next.
You play with fire. So do I. How much do you care about that house of yours?
My eyes begin to glow with flaming, white-hot light, and then from them, a beam of light shoots out, hits the space between Anessa, the house, and Morla.
All right.
And I'm going to drop that fireball.
Okay, so I've got 2 dexterity saving throws to make for the witches, and then 1 for the snail. Morla's dex is not the best. That's a 5 for her. And Anessa Wismother, whose dex is just okay, gets a 12.
Mm-mm, no dice on that one.
And the schnail, whose name is Ambiago, by the way. Oh.
Thank you. That's very important. Does it have a name tag?
He gets way better than the witches. With a 13.
Still don't make it.
No.
So if I remember correctly, this is 66?
8d6 for a standard fireball.
10, 20, and that's 23.
So in the middle of the pale mire, a ball of fire erupts, striking 2 of the witches and the snail, catching the snail most off guard. It's an innocent bystander in all of this. It knocks Morla back into the snail. Some of the fire sucks up into her eye socket, but her body is scorched and her furred cloak is singed. You notice one of the wisps surrounding Anessa explodes and seems to suck up some of the fire, but they both take damage from the impact.
What about the house?
The bottom of the house is now starting to crackle.
Mm.
You see some embers forming, slowly burning away. The wood seems very wet, but the magical fire is enough to start to cook it.
I'm going to move a little bit to kind of spread us out so that we're not so clumped together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to bring my chakram to bear on Anessa.
All right.
Has a 17 taste.
That does miss Anessa's armor class. She's the tankiest of the group.
That'll happen.
She's a tree. Next up in the initiative is Chris Sagrand.
All right. Time to unsheathe. With those words, I'm inspiring myself.
Okay.
We're just going to leave that lying there?
Yep, we're just, yep.
What?
Time to unsheathe.
It's a good line and also sexual.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
It's very Chris.
It's very good.
Yes. So with that, Chris locks eyes with Morla and runs through Artyom's flames. He's going to absorb those flames into his claw, taking all of that holy, furious energy, wanting to protect Harothax. And he's going to make a heightened, booming blade.
Nice.
So, let's make that attack roll.
Please do.
I'm scared, because if this hits, it's a lot of damage. 13 does not hit, so use my last bit of luck. God damn it. 14 probably does not hit.
Did you inspire yourself?
You did inspire yourself.
Oh, I did. How close do I think? Well, I still have the LUQ inspiration, too. Oh, nice. 19?
19 hits Morla's AC.
Whew.
Well done.
So with that, first you hear that note, and it is just the prelude to the destruction that is about to be unleashed. It is going to be 3d8 from the Ring of Binding, 5d8 from the 5th level Absorbed Elements, another 1d8 from Booming Blade, and then, another 1d-something from my Crystalline Claw.
Nice. Although I believe the Absorbed Elements is in d6s.
Sorry, yeah. The bind's the only d6.
A butt fuck of damage.
It's going to be a lot of damage. I'm going to need some help, y'all.
You mean you need to borrow some dice?
Yeah.
Pretty ones?
Spirit bomb. Lend me your power.
This is the spiritest of bombs.
Whoa, sorry. Easy. Ooh, wee, wee.
I'm like shaking because it's so much damage. 37. So 41 damage.
Fantastic. You also take 12 from running into the fireball and absorbing it, which is half because you absorbed half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you come out, smoldering and smoking, you bury your claw into Morla's belly, and you see the fire in her eye grow weak for a moment and her face contort in agony, but she remains standing, pinned to your hooked finger.
Oh, she's still standing. Okay.
Give me my dice.
All right.
That brings us to Harothax.
How bad does Morla look?
She's impaled, and she looks gnarly and old as always.
Okay.
But other than that, fine.
Right.
She's glowing.
Right, yeah. Like clinging to life, or she's been stabbed, but she's still in more or less fighting form.
On a scale from old boy to modern blockbuster, how's she handling
damage? How many knives are in her back?
Yeah.
Roll me an Arcana check.
Sure. That's decent. 22.
As you're assessing her health, you've been studying the hags a lot during your life. You've read many books and done as much research as possible. And now seeing them in action for the first time, you're realizing that there's many strange gifts that the coven has. Not only do they share one pool of spells, they also share one pool of hit points.
Oh. Whoa.
Weird.
That said, you guys have been going fairly ham on that pool.
Yeah. Harothax is going to look over at the tree and is just going to say, "Let the earth you make consume you." And I cast Erupting Earth centered on her. So she needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
That she will attempt. Ooh, 16.
That is a fail for me.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's a tree. How dexterous can she be realistically, right?
Yeah,
backflipping trees.
So the ground around her explodes in a column of earth and stone, which then comes cascading back down on top of her and her will-o-wisps, because it's a 20-foot cube.
Mm-hmm.
So I rain rocky death upon that area and deal. Well, those are some shit-ass rolls. 9, 11, 16, 25 damage on 5d12.
Oh.
That's Harothax for you.
Right? At least she failed her save, so she didn't take 12 damage off of 5d12. And all of that space is now difficult terrain and takes 1 minute of work to clear.
20 foot?
I think so, yeah. The whole zone.
Is that a 20-foot radius or 20-foot diameter?
20-foot cube.
Gotcha. Excellent. You do notice as the rocks begin to fall and the avalanche impacts the top of her head, another one of the wisps explodes and you see its life force pull into her.
Cool.
1 hour.
And then I'm going to... Nope, I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay right where I am. And I'm just going to keep concentrating on my one concentration spell that I've got up. So.
Awesome.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm done.
That brings us to Arvid, son of Arvid.
So Arvid is... regrouping now that he's jumped back to the group. He's also in pain from the burning metal that is all over his soft skin. And he's gonna take a potion of haste and then wild shape.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah,
you clever bastard.
So, potion downed.
And now, Sam, can you give me a hasted bleat from the goat? Is it like a chipmunk go,
meh? Oh, cute. Yeah, so fast boy. So that doubles speed,
mm-hmm.
adds +2 to AC, and gives advantage on dexterity saving throws.
Correct.
And an additional action each turn. Ooh.
Which means one more action, right? You could move now because you did it at the beginning of your turn and attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. I can't use the other bonus action, but I'll have it for later. Oh, no, I was thinking about healing, and my hit points aren't my hit points anymore. Right. So, yeah, let's hit that bitch again, the same one.
Does a ramming attack like that, if it's up against an object, cause extra damage?
I don't know about that, but I do know that she'd have to be worried about being knocked prone, right?
You do have the ability to knock people prone. Although the snail is very soft and spongy. It's kind of like a gymnasium wall. So... not only does the delicious potion take off the edge of all those drugs you were taking before, setting you back to your normal Arvid potion addict self, as you transform into the ram, the metal vanishes, melding with your body and turning into bone and flesh and blood.
God damn, that's good.
Removing the magic of the heat metal.
That's a very clever way to get out of that spell.
Very clever.
That's why they call him Clever Arvid.
Clervid. Clevord.
And because you hasted at the beginning of your turn, you can now make your attack against Morla.
Heck yeah! Okay, bam, bam, it's a ram. Yeah, I don't think that's going to cut it. It's 16.
16 is Morla's AC.
Is that with your improved strength and everything?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't affect the goat.
Oh, never mind.
If you get the AC, then you hit.
Yes.
Yeah, so that just hits.
Same hit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Oh! I had the same thought. I had the exact same thought. I was like, oh, man.
I've only been playing this game for a year and a half, and you're just now learning how AC works.
Yay!
So let's see that horn damage.
20.
Wow.
Which is good goat damage.
That is very good goat damage.
That is good goat damage. Mm. I mean, that's good anything damage, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd have been happy with dealing 20 with my 5d12 damage attack.
Let it go.
So you are now adjacent to Krist and Morla. Krist's claw is still piercing through her belly, and now you just slam her into the soft, spongy belly of this giant snail. That brings us back to the Pale Miner sisters. Krist, I need you to roll me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, boy. I rolled a 3 on the die.
Yeah.
But I have some elocution inspiration. Krist is standing strong, and he's feeling it, and I'm going to use it.
Very good.
All right, crowd, don't fail me now. Well, 13, so 20 total.
20 total, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that does make the DC. As you look down at your finger and forearm that's kind of buried into her stomach, magic begins to seep out of the wound, and your hand begins to turn to stone, and it starts to creep up your elbow. But you focus all of your magic into the negation energy of your claw, and it begins to retreat, returning back to the soft crystalline flesh.
Whew.
It's a high five gesture.
Oh.
Alante staring at his hand like, what is this?
I also thought that Zach had put his hand up to say something, not for the high five.
It's fair. It's how we talk.
Yeah.
So she's going to use another legendary action to give you a touch of nightmares.
I don't know what that means.
You touched. 22 to hit.
And it's a bad touch.
I don't like bad touch.
I'm too far away to use warding flare.
You're lucky I rolled fucking dog balls. You take 14 psychic damage.
Okay.
Whew.
That's a Harithax roll.
And you see the furnace in her eye glow as she begins to consume your dreams.
Good luck with that.
Anessa Wisp Mother
is surrounded by difficult terrain.
She is indeed. It's just debris and dust and mud like trickling down from low tree branches, covering her in this kind of shroud of muck. And from that muck, you see a glowing, crackling light. Artyom, I need you to roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Cool beans. Is it targeting me?
Yes, it is.
Hell yeah.
So you have advantage from your shield.
That is a 14 plus 3, 17.
Oh, well, God, what's the DC? It might be 18. I need to check. The DC on their spells is 17.
Woo! Well, actually, here's the best part. Even if it wasn't, I forgot to add the plus one from my cloak.
Oh. So you take half damage from the lightning bolt.
Hey, cool.
How big is this bolt?
26, so you take 14.
Dog shit. That was some terrible rolling.
And he rolled like 20 die.
You said 14?
14.
Which means I only take 9.
Beautiful. Oh, no, that's halved.
No, no, because I have my HP.
Oh, yes, HP. Yes, the temporary HP. I see what you're saying.
He's doing the lightning bolt for 9 damage.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
I love it.
And she's going to use her legendary action to send out another vine towards Harithax.
Okay. So
this is just an attack to grapple you, basically.
Just an attack to grapple.
Coming at you with a total of 20.
I am going to activate another bead on my Pearls of the Black Trench. I used it to cast Erupting Earth. I'm just going to flick my wrist and cast Shield and deflect the vine.
Awesome. So for a moment, this tendril wraps around your waist, but then this energy from the deep sea just bursts out from you, shattering the vine, and it now lays limp and dead in the mud.
You have no power over me anymore.
That brings us to Artyom Volkov.
So, Artyom says to Harithax, don't forget to keep an eye on your little undoing.
I look at Krim.
He looks up at you nervously. He's been kind of like hugging your leg, just watching this all go down.
And then I will bypass Anessa and say to her, sorry, you're not the target.
I move in and then I prep a flame strike on Morla and scream to Krist, get the hell out of there.
You got it.
And I'm going to swing at Anessa with the chakra just for insult.
You're not the target. Attack.
17.
Her AC still 18.
Still. Damn. It hasn't changed.
I also say that to remember because they all have different ACs. So unfortunately that does miss. But that brings us to Krist himself.
Krist will pat Arvid with the other hand. Are you ready to get out of here? Those will be the inspiring words to myself. And we are going to thunderstep the hell out of here at a level 4.
What's the DC?
That's 16.
Dexterity? She good.
Mm-hmm. She good?
She good. I mean, she's going to take half regardless, but she made her save.
Okay. May I borrow 5 D8s, please?
Oh,
here we go. I have the 5. So 35 damage.
Ooh, which is halved deliciously. And you and the goat explode into lightning and then reappear at the far end of the glade.
And then a second the lightning bursts and the flames gather, they then compress hard in razor sharp blades as a flame strike.
Yikers.
That's going to be a dexterity saving throw.
That is a dexterity for Morla is 4, so 16.
No die. Wait. Nope. Nope. 16 is exactly the DC. Damn.
Still takes half.
What a fart. 8. Another 8. 16.
Got it.
Another 10.
Okay.
And then 2 1s.
All right.
I couldn't be going that good for that long.
Hey, 14 damage is still pretty good, considering she made the save.
Mm-hmm.
17. So the entire glade is now filled with this burning white light as a pillar of fire and radiant energy hits her and the snail. The snail begins to retract and pull into its shell in cowardice, and that will bring us to Harithax. Right before your turn begins, though, you hear a ripping sound, and you look to where Margi Dogtooth was standing, and you see a metal hook cutting through reality. She activates the coven spell of plane shift. She begins to pull her way out, fish flopping, teeth glistening in the moonlight, and snarling, and says, "The sisters remain together."
All right, that's fine. So she pops back in where she was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Harithax will, seeing that, I'll drop concentration on banishment since she just brought herself back. And then I'll go running over, like, in the direction that she's tearing herself back onto this plane. And I'll say,
"Good. You can die together too, then."
And I acid breath her and her sister.
Interesting.
So I move to get them in a line if I can, and then just blast both of them.
They're definitely lined up pretty square.
Cool. They both need to make dex saves.
They've had advantage on most things, but not this, because this is a breath weapon, not on a spell.
That's okay. It's a breath weapon, so the save's kind of shit.
So Morla gets an 8.
That's a fail.
And Margi gets 19.
19 is plenty. This is DC 12. But they still gonna take 4d6 acid. Blip.
It's a good breath.
Nice. That's actually a good roll, too. 21 acid damage.
21.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Damn.
Which means the pool of hit points that they share takes 21 and then 10.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you hit both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You see the cloak of fish begin to melt away, followed by her pale, aged flesh. You see Morla standing and grimacing as her skeleton is revealed from underneath her fur robes, her beating black heart visible in the moonlight. And you hear the whispering once again.
A pact is sealed. Our death fate gain. 10 years and a day, we rise again. Our bodies break. Our hearts stop cold. 10 years and a day, we break the mold. Heroes come to snuff our flames. 10 years in a day, you'll curse our names.
And the Pale Mile Sisters have been banished once again, freeing this land from their twisted corruption and cruel manipulation. They vow to return, perhaps an empty threat, perhaps a curse. But their passing has triggered something. The land seems to sigh. The looming rain clouds that keep the mire in constant gloom seem to be unfurling, like a victory banner, as rays of light begin to penetrate. But this is cut short as the humming portal behind you begins to moan. It whirs and shrieks. Whatever black magic held it open has been cut like a kite string, and suddenly a flash of light and impact catches your battle-weary forms off guard. As the gateway shatters, your minds go dark.
God damn, that was some heavy stuff.
I'm somewhat speechless. Well, let's see if we can get the monitors working again. The signal's gone cold.
Kip, I've seen some explosions and magical weirdness in my day, but that didn't look like the kind you walk away from. Portal magic is crazy volatile. There's a good chance the MDs are gonna need to empty the bank for some resurrection magic. Man, can they even afford a full team res?
Unlikely, pal. Whatever curse it was that gave those sisters powers seems to have been shattered as they were dropped down one by one. But their final words remain a haunting echo. It seems they have plans to return in the future.
I mean, you can get a lot done in 10 years in a day. But that all depends on whether or not we see those kids again. How soon can we get scouts on the field, or, I don't know, a rescue team or something?
I'm sure there's a team of handlers on their way now to recover the bodies. Don't worry so much, pal. They'll be okay, right?
We'll see, Kip. We'll see. Hell, if you gotta go down, might as well be duking it out with some badass witch sisters. Arvid going full goat to avoid getting char roasted is definitely my play of the day. You see that fishcoat hag? She had a hook for her hand, Kip. A hook. That's on my top three hand replacements. Right after flamethrower and giant fork.
Giant fork?
Obviously for giant pasta, Kip.
Well, join us next time as we find out if this is a fight the MDs walk away from, or if it's a huge step backwards in their progress as they recover from the cost of a potential full team raised dead.
You think graves are deep? You should see the debt high-level cleric magic leaves behind.
Have our heroes shuffled off their mortal dawn coils, or will they be rescued by Deus Ex Machina? Have we seen the last of the Peelmeyer sisters? And what does this mean for young Harithax? Find out next time on the League of Ultimate Questing.
God damn.
Cool. What a spicy meatball.
Nice fucking finish with the line and the breath.
Right?
Very good stuff.
Good stuff.
I was like, well, I'd actually been thinking about running over there and ending concentration on banishment anyway. So it wasn't the end of the world that she popped back. So
I love that everything Margie said got fucking dunked on. Margie opens her fucking mouth. Dunked on. Well,
she's definitely the shut the fuck up Donnie out of the group. Like,
she's the heel. And actually, all three of the Pale Mouse sisters can exist on the ethereal plane at the same time.
Okay.
So as long as they're within 60 feet, part of them is still within 60 feet.
Okay.
It's on their stat blocks and everything.
Totally fair.
That's convenient.
I just forgot that they had the coven spell until the last round.
Got it. Stone cold expecting Krim to fuck us over pretty bad. Right.
Oh, yeah.
He hates him. He's just scared.
Yeah. Harithax isn't super, super bright, but I was like, I think Harithax would know enough about this particular coven to know fucking separate the hags. Yeah. So...
See, I was expecting Krim to like cut open reality on her behalf or something.
Nah, he's shit.
I did have
he's a shit man.
I did have the idea at one point of casting polymorph on Krim and turning him into something to go fuck him up himself. Like,
whoa, that'd been cool.
Which would have been super dope. But depending on how high a degree of control they had, that could have backfired horrifically too.
Also, I know this is a little ridiculous, but I now have a stat block that I've made for a gargantuan snail that is within your challenge rating for polymorph.
Fucking amazing! I'm looking forward to this now.
I was waiting for it to fuck us up somehow.
It did have actions, and it did have a very powerful acid breath. It wouldn't have attacked unless it was hit, but also we were near the end of the combat. So yeah. I guess that's my turn, though.
It
I
is.
Didn't even think about that. So thank you for listening to this episode of the League of Ultimate Questing. This chapter's had a lot for everyone, I think. I've exhausted, and we still have one to go. But if you enjoy the show, check us out every single Monday. Hashtag every fucking Monday. New episodes come out. We put out as much content as we can during the week in the form of memes and videos and fun ads. If you want to get all the links you need to our social media and our Discord, which has been blowing up, it's theluq.com. And we're going to go around the table real quick and introduce ourselves just so you remember who we are.
Starting with Sam, who plays Arvid Ulfmund,
yeah, Drew Barb.
Followed by Michael, who plays Harthax, Warlock.
As yet unverified.
And don't forget about me, Alante Bearcat, playing Chris Segran, the Crystalline Sorcerer and Creation Bard.
I think I saw that on Saturday. And I'm Zach Barkus. I play out Jan Volkov, the Cleric of Sunlight and Suffering. I'm also the technical director of Slapdash Studios. And I want to thank Wes for editing this episode.
Thank you, Wes. And I want to thank all of you for listening. And I will thank you again if you share this podcast with all of your friends. What better gift for the holidays than sharing something that's been so fun and personal to you? So if you feel that way about us, give us to your enemies, allies, friends, adversaries, what have you. But until then, we hope you're having a good end of the year. We look forward to growing and questing together. Until next time, we wish you luck.